Welcome to It Doesn't Take a Genius. A quick tip before we get started. Nervous public speakers have often used the trick of visualizing their audiences in their underwear to calm their nerves. You may want to try that as you watch Mark and Mike. After all, neither one of them is wearing pants. Just saying.
Mr. Marshall, welcome back from the great American West. This is lovely that you've brought back with you.
Why, thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Yes, I'm still virtually in the mountains. We just returned from Rocky Mountain National Park. And I must admit, yes, you may bask in the
lovely panoramic image here.
Yes, I think we're at Dream Lake, and that's Mount Hallett behind us. So it was interesting because I hadn't been anywhere for, since March. Mm-hmm. So we ventured out into the world. There was an airplane flight. First time I'd been in restaurants and things like that. And I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but some things have changed. So
right.
there's something going on. And so it was interesting, thinking about, our role as consultants and coaches around customer experience. I had the opportunity to go into a number of different restaurants, and something I hadn't done in months. And it was interesting, physically what's changed, every other table's blocked off and the condiments are gone. The menus are paper and they tear them up, right in front of you. But probably the most startling thing was the ability or inability of the wait staff to work with their face covered up.
Yeah.
And it was dramatic. We went into this restaurant, young man came up, good looking eyes, good hair. Don't know, I have any idea what he looked like. but he was a soft talker. And you add a mask to that, nothing was happening. So you're trying to social distance, and at the same time you're going, say again, And at one point, like the third trip to our table, he even admitted, he says, I'm sorry, I just don't talk very loud. And then we put a mask on this poor kid.
I'm mediocre, deal with it.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, this is so painful. And so, you couldn't lip read, it was just, he seemed like a nice guy, but it wasn't working. And then we went to another place for breakfast, and I'll even give a shout out to the Bighorn Restaurant in Estes Park. This gal was amazing, about the same age, 20-something, just incredible energy. And somehow she was able to bring to life the whole service experience with her face covered up.
Yeah,
you could see her eyes. You could tell by the way her cheeks rose that she was smiling behind the mask. There was an energy to her. The voice, inflection was perfect.
Yep.
She knew she needed to speak up, even though she was masked and at a distance.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was even I have a teenage daughter, and even she, the lady walked away and she was like, wow, that lady's amazing. I'm like, yeah. So I learned that if you were struggling before, this made it worse. And if you were skilled, right, you had to bring a lot more energy and a lot more intentionality to it, but you could make it work.
Yeah.
We were blown away, impressed to no ends with this young person. So, it was interesting to be out in the world to see, okay, how is this impacting the folks who are out there trying to be customers and consumers. Yeah.
Well, and thank you for just going ahead and pointing out the dollar signs involved here, right? Because, we talk in consumer experience about loyalty and advocacy. I get that you're not going to be able to perhaps go back to Estes Park next week, but by golly, you've just made a shout out on a podcast that's, going to go around the globe. To the five people that listen, but still there are five people there that
they're spread out. They're not all in one room.
Exactly. It's not like they live in one house. Hi, Mom. But anyway, this makes a difference that being able to engage with half your face covered is a big deal to bringing the customers back in.
Oh, it's frightening. And we even talked because we had one more morning there, and And we were, you know, negotiating in the car the next breakfast opportunity. And I did raise my hand. I said, let's go. I was perfectly happy with the Bighorn. I would go back there in a heartbeat, and especially if I could get the same waitress. So yeah, there was that loyalty that was starting to manifest itself, even though we can't be repeat customers.
That's great.
You know, and I think, you know, you've talked about this before, where you know, you translate that to you know, managers, right? Our interactions with managers and employees. Right?
Is
This gets real scary now that the, you know, many of the managers that we work with, many times they're working with us because they do struggle to connect and to coach and get the level of engagement they want out of their team members. It just got immensely more difficult for those folks when they put a mask on.
And I think you and I both have had examples where there was the manager who, you know, the intentions were there. They wanted to do right by their people. They wanted to sing their praises, give them good positive recognition. But I mean, do you have any stories that come to your mind? I can think of a couple. I just can't share them because they're a little too personal.
Well, yeah, I had a manager. He was a manager, and he had a fairly big office, a group of team members that he oversaw. We did a survey, and one of the questions came back, and the team members all said that he didn't provide them enough recognition. He was more than apt of catching them when they were doing something wrong and providing feedback, but he wasn't providing any positive reinforcement. And he just went insane. He's just like, this is not true. The survey, I
Couldn't
didn't
believe
read the questions. You know, it was raining when they took the survey. You know, he just, you know, denial, resistance. And I said, well, tell me why you feel so strongly that you do this well. And he goes, because I will tell you, every night when I leave, I walk out of my office and I look at my team and I go, great job.
it.
And then I leave. I said, do you say it like that? He goes, what do you mean? I said, great job. He goes, well, yeah. So every evening, consistently, every day that I'm there, they're getting positive recognition. And I said, no, they may be getting a platitude. They may be getting some form of exit goodbye
Rubber
that you,
stamp.
yeah. It's the equivalent of a flight attendant. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. You know, it's there's no difference. And he was just aghast that not only did he have to say the words, but there had to be meaning to them, that there had to be something more to communicate that.
Well, so, you know, with employees to customers, with managers to employees, frankly, even customers to employees, you know, there's the Karen meme with all apologies to every Karen I know. You know, this idea of a lady with a short haircut and she's in the wrong, but by golly, she's going to intimidate and pressure and manipulate and ask to speak to the manager. And because that's the only trick in her bag, apparently. You know, that's the joke, right? That's the joke of the meme, is that she really just she's not a good communicator, and therefore has to just, you know, throw up a signal flare to try to get her way. So I would just argue that this has been going on for a long time. I know you've pointed out, you know, this is something that cavemen probably did, right?
Oh yeah. I'm a firm believer that yeah, we were descended from the people who could read facial expressions. So you're leaving the cave, you're gonna kill a saber-toothed tiger for dinner, and you meet another group of humans. You're scanning their faces, and we are only descended from the ones who could quickly figure out who was friendly and who was going to kill them. Right? The guy who went, eh, he seemed nice, you know, and couldn't read, right? They didn't get to pass along their DNA. So I think this is something we instinctually do, but we've always done it with the ability to see a full face. And so now we've got to, the skill becomes immensely more difficult. And we're really good at it, but we put an obstacle in the way.
Well, the good news is that, you know, if we've been reading faces since, you know, the dawn of prehistory, we've been intentionally working on how we come across to other people, since at least the Greeks and the Romans, they had a very formalized way of teaching rhetoric. And of course, we think rhetoric nowadays like political rhetoric and, you know, people, again, sort of like Karen, trying to whip up emotion and intimidate or get your emotions inflamed. But rhetoric actually meant, in fact, there was a famous teacher back then who said the goal was a good man skilled at speaking. So skillful at speaking, skillful at communicating, but you got to be a good man to do it, right? Because you want to bring out what's best for everybody around you. And influence them toward that decision. So they had five canons of rhetoric, five different sort of principles that they applied when they were teaching people how to be a good speaker. The last of the five, I mean, I'm talking, it's everything from memory to how you arrange your speech or whatever it is you're going to do out in the marketplace. The last one was delivery. It was about tone of voice, eye contact, posture, gestures, the whole nine yards. So this is something like we do know how to do this. We can get better at this because we've been intentionally working on getting better at it for 1,000, 2,000 years.
Oh yeah. Well, I think there's a million-dollar idea in here. So we've become very adept at adding emojis to our text messages. Yep. In an effort to give them tone and body language and things like that. So we figured out there were limitations to just words only. And so now the person who invents the emoji mask will rule. So I just need a mask that when I'm smiling, a smiley face appears. And when I'm unhappy, the frowny face appears and so forth. But until then, I think you're absolutely right. The skills that the ancient people were talking about become even more important in this day and age, and now they become even more difficult given the limitations of the face covering. So I think it's something that people have to get extremely intentional about and think about and asking others for feedback.
Yeah.
You know, how did that come across? You know, and if something does go sideways, right, seeking feedback on okay, what caused that? Yeah, I meant it, you know, from this standpoint, and it was received differently. I've got to figure out what is causing that miscommunication, that cross signaling.
Yeah, sometimes asking for it, sometimes giving people permission to sort of, you know, get your attention and say, hey, you doing okay? Because you sound a little stressed right now. Oh, do I? I didn't mean to do that. That's a common trick if you're in a high pressure environment to have sort of a buddy system where you can make sure everybody's coming across smooth as butter to the people that you're having to address. Another one of those is things like the DISC assessment, you know, personality profiles. The idea is learning sort of how you think and how you communicate, the motivations that work for you. And then there are some ways for you to intentionally improve how you come across to some of these other personality types so that you're adapting to what they need in the moment, which maybe that means in some cases more of a monotone voice, probably not so much with the masks right now, but there are chances to size up other people and adapt to what they need, which again is kind of the whole point, right? A good man skilled at speaking, somebody who really has your best interests at heart and wants to come across to you the right way so that they can serve you.
No, and I love DISC, and I love it from the standpoint of learning to communicate in the style that is most appropriate to the listener.
Right.
And so if I can figure out how they would best like to be communicated with, I can do that, and then the message is more likely to resonate and more likely to get through. So. Yeah. DISC does we've used it for a number of years. It is an awakening to, all right, so does my communication style fit the person? I know it fits me, right. But not, you know, I'm not leading a room full of me, and thank goodness. And so I've got all these other personalities and behavioral styles and can I communicate with them effectively and knowing what they are? So that's a great point.
We're about out of time, Mike, but I think, you know, just to summarize this, intentional about your mindset, what you're trying to come across with the people around you, intentional about learning how you communicate and ways that you can adapt to other people's style. Things like the DISC assessment are ways to do that. You had also mentioned when we were talking before we started about intentional ways for an employer to evaluate his people's ability to communicate when you can't really see him. You want to share a little bit about interviewing?
Yeah, we were talking about what are the primary job skills necessary? And so I work with a lot of different companies, and I'm always amazed when they get ready to hire a new receptionist or a new business development center, a BDC person, somebody like that. Yeah. And I said, well, how do you do that? And they said, well, they went online, we looked at their online application, and then we invite them in for an interview. And I'm like, no. So if this person's going to spend 90% of their time interacting with customers on the phone, how should we interview them?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we should do it on the phone.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's a brand new thing, right? This light bulb comes on and they go, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. The ability to paint a picture on the phone, to create a warm and inviting conversation, a relaxed atmosphere using just your voice. Yeah. That's a skill, that's an art, and not everybody has it. And so I always encourage them, let's do a phone interview first. If you like that, then bring them in. Because the moment you see them, you no longer hear them as they are on the phone. You hear them as you see them.
Yeah, there's a perception built into that.
Yeah, there's a perception that's clouding and altering how you even hear that person. So yeah, just little thoughts like that is what's their primary role, and let's interview them in the manner that speaks to that role. And then we'll know if we've got the right person.
Yeah, so good. All right, well, Mike, phenomenal stuff as usual. And I guess we're going to have the announcer say some possibly rude things as we fade to black here.
Oh, no.
And there you have it, another session of Contemporaneous Extemporizing from Mark and Mike. I know it's redundant, but consider who we're talking about. As always, feel free to share the ideas you heard here. No rights are reserved, no permissions needed. Thanks. See you next time on It Doesn't Take a Genius.
That's good enough.